Matthew chapter 1. I want to look this evening at the person who might be described as Christ's earthly father. We often speak of Christ's heavenly father. But what about his earthly father? Joseph by name. We look there at the words of verses 19 and 20. These two verses have much to say about Joseph. Verse 19, "And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." We are here given a glimpse into the type of home that the Lord Jesus, the Christ child, was born into. When we look at Mary and Joseph, we behold a couple that any child would be glad to have as their earthly parents. Much has been written and said about Mary, who was chosen to be the mother of the Christ child. Matthew 1, verse 18. Luke, in his account, tells us a little more about that great event. If you look at chapter 1 of Luke, and there in verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind that what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." I want to look here, regarding Mary, at the salutation. The salutation that came to Mary from the angel of the Lord. Mary was told, "Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Those words, "highly favored," mean graciously accepted or much grace. In other words, Mary was given much grace. And by the grace of God, she was accepted to be the mother of Christ. She was the one who received grace. She was not the one who gave grace, as the Church of Rome teaches. Rome teaches that Mary gives grace. No, she was the one who received grace. Interesting is this. It was because of grace that she would receive Christ into her womb by the Holy Ghost. Think upon that. For it is through and by grace and the working of the Holy Spirit that we receive Christ, that we receive him into our heart. and we receive Christ into our very soul. It's by grace, and it is by the working of the Holy Spirit. I think that it is also interesting when we look there at verse 28 of Luke 1. Thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. The child that she would bear would be called Jesus. But as we noted this morning, Joseph was informed of another name that would be given to Christ. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We considered that this morning. We considered the meaning of the name Emmanuel, God with us. We pointed out that it spoke of a divine person and a divine presence and a divine purpose. Well, lo and behold, we have here in verse 28 the words of this salutation: Thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee. There's Emmanuel. And the child that Mary would bear, it's called Emmanuel, God with us. And as Mary bore that child, and that child developed in her womb, she could say, I have Emmanuel with me. God is with me. And Emmanuel was then born to Mary and laid in that manger. You notice also, look at verse 29 of Luke chapter 1. And when she saw him, that is the angel of the Lord, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She was troubled when she saw the angel of the Lord. That word, troubled, is not found anywhere else in Scripture. The word trouble is used only here. In the New Testament, the word is a very strong and intensive word. So we understand why Mary was so troubled about receiving this word, that she was going to bear a child, yet she knew not man, yet she was not married. She was greatly troubled. But then, after Gabriel explained all to her, we notice her surrender. We have the salutation and we have the surrender. Because here is something that I feel is quite wonderful and tells us something about Mary and the caliber of a woman that she was and how spiritual she was. As I said, the angel of the Lord explained all to her. And when it was all explained, how this would all come about, look at verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. When everything was explained to Mary, how she would bear a child, and that child would be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, how she would have a child before she was married, that it would be conceived in her of the Holy Ghost. When it was all explained, we read those wonderful words, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." There was Mary's complete and absolute surrender to the will of God. When she was told that all which would happen to her was all of God, Mary was then content. She said, "I am but thy handmaid. I am but thy servant. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." What a lovely picture we have of this dear woman. Tells us so much about her. When we get away beyond teachings of Rome and Mary, and we just look at the person as she is revealed to us in Scripture, we see a lovely woman, a godly woman, a woman who was surrendered to the will of God, saying, I am but thy handmaid, I'm thy servant. Be it unto me according to thy word. Oh, to have that same attitude as Mary had to the will and to the word of God. Then we see Mary went on to rejoice in her Lord. And there you have her song in verse 46. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." What does that teach us? Here's Mary. At first of all, she was troubled. But when all was explained to her by the angel of the Lord, she surrendered herself completely to the will of God. And now she enters into a song. "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." But sure, when Christ enters into the life of a sinner, what does he bring? He brings a new song. He brings the song of the soul set free. And here's Mary, and she's rejoicing in Christ her Savior, God my Savior. She's rejoicing in Christ. When a soul is saved, that soul begins to rejoice in Christ their Savior. But what of Joseph? We have learned something about Mary. But what of the man to whom she was espoused and she would become his wife? Well, just as we have a Joseph present at the Savior's death, Joseph of Arimathea, is it interesting now we have a Joseph present at his birth, namely Joseph, the son of Jacob? But what of this Joseph? Let us see what we can learn about this son of Jacob, the husband of Mary. We've seen this gracious woman, Mary. Now let us look at the one who would be her partner in life. I want us first of all to consider the character of Joseph. The character of Joseph. When we look at the words here in Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2, we learn something about the character of this man. We notice in Matthew 1 and verse 19, first of all, Joseph was a godly man. What does it say in verse 19? "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man." It's the first thing that's said about him. Joseph, her husband, being a just man. The word just means righteous. Joseph being a righteous man, and indeed, in the way that he conducted himself upon receiving the news about Mary going to be the mother of the Christ child, how he conducted himself proved that he was a righteous man. Joseph didn't need to tell others that he was a righteous man. Joseph didn't need to tell others that he was a just man. Joseph's life told that story. Joseph's life revealed that truth. In fact, when you look at all the references to Joseph, you will discover that there is no record of anything that Joseph said. You don't read about anything that Joseph said. You read about what Mary said. But Joseph, there's no record of any words that came from his lips. In other words, Joseph's life spoke for him. Others could see that he was a righteous man, even as the Lord Jesus said later to his disciples, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light so shine before men. And you look at Joseph, and my, how his light did shine. He was a righteous man. For a man like Joseph cannot live the life that he lived without others saying he was a godly man. Now we said that there is no record of any conversation with Joseph or any word that Joseph said. But there is a reference to Joseph actually speaking. Look at the last verse of Matthew chapter 1. "And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." He called his name Jesus. And so if there is any hint with regard to anything that Joseph said, we have it there in that verse 25 of Matthew 1. And what did he say? He called the name of the Christ child Jesus. In other words, anything that we read about Joseph having said anything involved Christ. We could ask ourselves then tonight, how much of our conversation involves the Lord Jesus? Here we are told about Joseph. He was the one who named the Christ child Jesus. If we think of anything that he said, well, there it is. There's nothing more. But is it not enough? Joseph had the name of Christ upon his lips. He was a godly man. He was a gracious man. We can see how gracious Joseph was in the way that he dealt with Mary when she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 1, verse 18. When she was found with child. She was found with child before they came together, before they were married. How then did Joseph deal with this situation? He dealt with it in a most gracious manner. We remember that Mary and Joseph were not married at this time, yet she was found with child. So how would Joseph handle this situation? He handled it with grace. Matthew 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Notice, upon hearing the news that Mary was with child, he did not behave in a rash manner. Look carefully at what it says. But while he thought on these things, he didn't behave rashly. Upon hearing the news, he thought on these things. The word thought there means to ponder. In other words, Joseph pondered what he should do. Solomon gives good advice to those who would be tempted to behave in a rash way, to do something without really thinking about it. Well, Joseph thought about it. We read in Ecclesiastes 5, in verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Boy, didn't Joseph let his words be few. When he heard about Mary being with child, he thought on these things. He did not behave in a rash manner. That, of course, was in keeping with the fact that he was a godly man. He was a godly man, so therefore he didn't behave rashly. And this godly man was a gracious man because he thought on these things. He pondered over in his mind until he received direction from the angel of the Lord. He didn't go and take matters into his own hands. He thought upon these things. He pondered them. And then, as he pondered, as he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. All explained. Isn't it as well he didn't behave rashly? Isn't it as well he thought on these things? Isn't it as well he pondered these matters until he received a word from the Lord? It's always best to wait upon the Lord. Yea, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He was a godly man. He was a gracious man. He didn't behave rashly. He graciously dealt with the situation regarding Mary. He was godly, he was gracious, and he was a gentleman. He dealt gently with her. And he was a gentleman. I think that this Joseph was a perfect gentleman. Again, we note when Joseph learned that the woman to whom he was espoused was found with child, he dealt very graciously and gently with her. Verse 19 of Matthew 1. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. We have already seen that when Mary was informed that she would be with child, we're told she was troubled. I'm sure Mary thought initially, this will be looked upon as a great disgrace. I will be shamed. That's why she was troubled. Until it was all explained to her. And perhaps the same thought crossed the mind of Joseph. What are we going to do with this dear woman? Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example. Not to bring shame upon her before he knew the whole story. Not to bring shame upon her. He thought about her. He thought about her feelings and how she felt. Not willing to make her a public example. He thought about putting her away privily. In other words, taking her out of the public eye. Knowing that Mary would have felt hurt. Perhaps what others may have said about her. And so he behaved in a gracious and a gentle way. Taking her out of the public eye. As we read here, was minded to put her away privily. But look again at the words of verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. In other words, the way Joseph behaved and not willing to make her a public example was minded to put her away privily. He did those things. He thought upon those things. Why? Because he was a just man. That's why. That's why he behaved that way. That's what it's saying. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, being a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Here once again, the fact that Joseph was a just man, was a godly man, was a righteous man, that governed how he behaved. That's governed how he behaved. He was gentle because he was godly. He was gracious because he was godly. You know, when you think of it, this man, Joseph, was so like the one who came into his home as a child. Joseph was so like Christ. His gentleness. Well, Paul, in speaking about the Lord Jesus, said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Now I, Paul, myself beseech you, listen, by the gentleness of Christ. By the gentleness of Christ. Oh, to be more like Joseph. godly, gracious, gentle. Better still, oh, to be more like Jesus. So we have considered Joseph and his character. Let us now consider Joseph and his communication. Matthew tells us about Joseph's communications with heaven. Here we have Joseph and the angel. Joseph and the angel. Verse 20, Matthew 1. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Joseph and the angel. We are told that the angel of the Lord communicated with Joseph no less than four times. Four times. The angel of the Lord communicated with Joseph. Matthew 1, verse 20. Matthew 2, verse 13. Matthew 2, verse 20, or verse 19. And again, Matthew 2 and verse 22. Four times. The angel of the Lord communicated with Joseph. Here Joseph, it is recorded, received a word from God through the angel of the Lord. We have a lovely thought here. Joseph received a word from the Lord on four separate occasions as recorded in Matthew. Joseph was in touch with heaven. Yea, heaven was in touch with Joseph. Here is Joseph communicating with heaven, and heaven communicating with him. And this being so typical of a man who was a just man, who was a righteous man, such are always in touch with heaven. Such are always in communion with heaven. Now we may not be and will not be visited by an angel, as Joseph was. But we certainly want to receive communications from heaven. How? Well, Joseph received a communication from heaven. He received a word from the Lord through the angel of the Lord. That's how heaven communicates with us, through the word. Have you not said at any time, after having the word preached to you, or when you've sat down with the word and you've read the word, and a word has, as it were, stood out on the page, and you've said, I received a word from the Lord today. Or you've been in the Lord's house on the Sabbath day, and after the meeting you said, I received a word from the Lord today. That's heaven communicating with us through the word. Now here in Matthew, in Matthew 1, we read about that communication, the angel of the Lord speaking to Joseph. Now when we get to Matthew 2, it's 2 years later. It's not the same day or the same week or the same month. It's 2 years later. After the wise men have come and worshipped the Lord, we read then in verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, because Herod was out to destroy him. That's why Herod slew all the children 2 years and under. It was 2 years from the Lord was born as a babe in Bethlehem. But the point I'm making is that here is Joseph, and 2 years later, he's still in touch with heaven. He's still receiving a word from the Lord through the angel of the Lord. Doesn't that speak to us of how consistent this man was in his living for the Lord? When Christ was born, he received communication from heaven. 2 years later, he's still in touch with heaven. Speaks to us of how consistent he was. But we can go further. When we go to Luke chapter 2, and we read there in verse 41, and his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. That's 12 years after the birth of Christ. 12 years after the birth of Christ. And what do we read? And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Once again, it's speaking to us and teaching us of how Joseph lived a consistent, godly life. It's consistent. So many professing believers today, their lives consist of fits and starts. They go on for a while with the Lord and then they fall back. Then they are stirred up again and on they go again. Not so with Joseph. From the day the Christ child came into the world, Joseph communicated with heaven, or heaven communicated with him. 2 years later, he's still in touch with heaven. 12 years after the birth of Christ, he's still going on with God, living that holy and consistent life. Can we not learn from Joseph? We see Joseph and the angel. That leads us now to consider Joseph and his acceptance. I cannot help but notice that each time the angel of the Lord revealed God's will to him, to Joseph, Joseph accepted it. Matthew 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Mark the words. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Now go down to verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife. His acceptance. He accepted the will of the Lord for his life. You go over to Luke's Gospel. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 38, we've already highlighted this verse. It's in regard to Mary. Verse 38, Luke chapter 1, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. There's Mary. We pointed out, we looked at Mary's surrender. We pointed out how Mary accepted the explanation given to her by the angel of the Lord. We have seen how Joseph accepted the word of the Lord that came to him by the angel of the Lord. This was the home that Christ was born into. A mother and a father. earthly father, completely surrendered to the will of God. Both of them. Both of them. Living for the Lord. What a testimony. But look again in Matthew. This time Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. And when they were departed, that is the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Look at the very next verse. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. He did exactly what he was told to do. Look at verse 19. And when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. And they, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Verse 21. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. Did exactly what the angel said. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. There's his acceptance. Whatever the will of the Lord was for his life, that's what he did. No questions. No argument. Because we've said we haven't got any recorded words spoken by Joseph. Does this not again remind us of our dear Savior? The Lord said, John 4, verse 34, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat is to do the will of him sent me. And as far as Joseph was concerned, that was his meat also, to do the will of his Father in heaven. To obey God's word. We have looked at the Joseph and the angel. We've looked at Joseph and his acceptance. We'll look at now at Joseph and his actions. When the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph and instructed him, we find that Joseph obeyed every time. Matthew 1, verses 20 and 24. Matthew 2, verses 13 and 14. Matthew 2, verses 20, 21 and 22. It is one thing to know the will of God. The will of God was revealed to Joseph when the angel of the Lord spoke to him. It's always one thing to know the will of God, is quite another thing to do it. Well, Joseph had the will of God revealed to him, and Joseph did the will of God. Joseph obeyed. And here, as we've already said, Joseph's silence comes into focus. No arguments, no disputes. Just simply rising up and doing what he had been told to do. Unlike Moses. When Moses was told by the Lord what to do, Moses argued over and over and over again. Jeremiah was called to preach. And Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am but a child. He argued with the Lord. Moses said, no, I can't do this. Jeremiah said, no, I can't do this. Joseph, no such words came from his lips. Joseph did what he was told to do. Joseph obeyed. Was Joseph not a gentleman? Was Joseph not a godly man? Was Joseph not a gracious man? Of course he was. He was a righteous man. He did the will of God because he was a just man. In the last place, we have Joseph and his character, Joseph and his communications, and finally Joseph and his consecration. In all that we have learned about Joseph, we see how dedicated and consecrated this man was. Notice his priority. We have seen that the only reference to Joseph saying anything was when Mary brought forth her firstborn son and he called his name Jesus. It's the only reference to Joseph saying anything. He called his name Jesus. And indeed, when we look at Joseph and his relationship with the Christ child, we see his consecration. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse 13 of Matthew 2, 13 and 14. And when they were departed, the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. Verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Look at verse 19. And when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Egypt, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Egypt, Israel. Do you notice anything? When we're talking about children and their parents, what do we usually say? We usually say, bring the mothers and the children. When we talk about mothers and children, or the mother and the child. That's not how the angel spoke. The angel said to Joseph, take the young child and the mother. Christ came first. And whenever Joseph obeyed the angel of the Lord, what do we read in verse 14? He arose and took the young child and the mother. In other words, Joseph put Christ first, as he was commanded to do. And it's the same in the verse 20 and 21. He arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Egypt. He kept putting Christ first. The Lord Jesus was first in his life. That's what he was commanded to do by the angel of the Lord. Was Christ first in your life and in mine? Well, we are commanded to put Christ first. The word of the Lord teaches that. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Christ must be first. Joseph put Christ first. So let us learn from Joseph. Let us live that life of dedication and consecration to Christ. Speaking about the Lord Jesus, Paul said that he is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world to come. He deserves to be first. For he's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. He deserves to be first in our lives. Joseph and his priority. You have Joseph and his paths. You will have noticed that wherever the angel of the Lord directed Joseph to go, that's where he went. Down into Egypt. Up out of Egypt. Into Israel. And you look there in the verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth. He's told to go there, that's where he went. Told to go to Egypt, that's where he went. Told to come back into Israel, that's where he went. How often have we sung those words, where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. That was the testimony of a godly man, of a gentleman, of a gracious man. May it be our testimony to you. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let us pray. O dear Lord and loving Father, we thank thee for thy truth. Thank thee, Lord, for a man like Joseph. What a man he was. What a godly man he was. What a gracious man he was. What a gentleman he was. O Lord, have us to be like him. Better still, help us to be like Christ, who's the perfect gentleman. And pray, Lord, thou would write this word upon our hearts. May we even think more about Joseph. For thinking more about Joseph will lead us to think more about Christ. Lord, be with us tonight. Grant us traveling mercy. Bless us all tomorrow. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.